Since 2022, medications for type 2 diabetes like Ozempic have been in short supply, and it's predicted that shortages will last until at least the end of the year.
The drugs have been proven to be effective for weight loss. That's made them extremely popular, along with aggressive advertising.
Manufacturers like Novo Nordisk and Eli Lilly can't keep up with the high demand, and many patients who rely on the medications have been unable to fill their prescriptions.
We heard from two Wisconsin pharmacists about their perspective on the shortage. Here's a listen.
My name is Dr. Hashem Zabak. I'm a pharmacist and a pharmacy owner of Hyatt Pharmacy in Milwaukee. We have been having challenges in ordering some of the weight loss medications. They're also used to treat diabetes. So the manufacturers have not been able to keep up with the demand because of the high demand here in the United States. And some of the patients have had to go without them for a short period of time. Unfortunately, sometimes we try to get it from different wholesalers. If the primary wholesaler is out, sometimes the secondary or other wholesalers might have some, but it's been hit and miss. So in the last few months, there are months when we had really good supply of these GLP-1 agonists, and there are months where we had none and we couldn't get any. The supply has been getting better recently, I want to say in the last couple of weeks, so hopefully this issue will be resolved in the near future.
My name is Nicole Schreiner, and I'm a pharmacist with Strews Pharmacy, and I've been in pharmacy practice for well over 25 years. Drug shortages of the GLP-1 medications used to treat type 2 diabetes have been common in the past few months. However, the supply chain is not the only obstacle patients face in procuring their medications. Most of these medications require special authorization to be covered by insurance, which can delay therapy by days. In addition, PBMs, or pharmacy benefit managers, may require patients to use a certain pharmacy or penalize the patient with a higher copay for not using the preferred pharmacy, even if that preferred pharmacy cannot supply the medication. Pharmacies are also struggling with reimbursement from PBMs below their cost, especially in this therapeutic class of medications. This disincentivizes pharmacies from wanting to fill the prescriptions.
Dr. Lisa Morselli is an assistant professor of medicine in the Division of Endocrinology at the Medical College of Wisconsin. As a prescriber, she has a Wisconsin perspective on the diabetes and weight loss medication shortages. Dr. Morselli, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, give us a brief refresher, first of all. How do these medications, the Ozempics, the Wegovys, these GLP-1 category drugs, what are they actually doing in our bodies when it comes to diabetes and weight loss?
Sure. So these drugs were initially developed for diabetes, and they mimic a hormone that our body makes, it is made in the gut, actually, that helps our body make more insulin. And that's the hormone that we need to process sugar. But then it turns out that this hormone also has an important function by acting on the brain, on the brain centers that control appetite. And so it helps us be less hungry. And that's why these drugs cause a lot of weight loss in most people who take them. And that's why they were then approved also for weight management.
We've got a list of brand names. It seems like that list is growing. Are there significant differences from one medication to another within this category?
So Ozempic and Wegovy are the same medication. It's a little confusing, but Ozempic is approved for diabetes and Wegovy is approved for weight loss. It's exactly the same medication. And then there is another medication in this class called tirzepatide that is marketed under two different names, one for diabetes and one for weight loss. The one for diabetes is Mounjaro. The one for weight loss is called Zepbound, but again, they're the same medication. But for some reason, it was decided that the different indications should have different names. So it is confusing.
Now, I had seen a thing, our colleagues at NPR actually had written up a thing saying, hey, people are having trouble in some cases finding their prescriptions, especially for the diabetes prescribed versions of these. People who need this medication, they linked to a chart where people are reporting, hey, I can't find it at pharmacy X, pharmacy Y, whatever. Are you hearing from people, patients or other people in the profession here in Wisconsin, that some people are having trouble getting their prescriptions filled?
Unfortunately, I do quite frequently. And it seems like things are getting better now, but definitely last year and the beginning of 2024, it was a big problem for many people.
Now, how the way these medications work, as I understand it, Dr. Marcelli, and we've talked about this before, is you don't just take them on and off. Once you start, you kind of stick with it for an indefinite period of time, right? So how big a problem is it if somebody had to interrupt, especially that diabetes patient, had to interrupt their medication because they couldn't get that prescription filled?
It can be an issue. It all depends on how long a person cannot get the refills. Because the one good thing about these medications is that they have a long duration of action. And so that means that even if you don't take it for a couple of weeks or 3 weeks, you still have the medication in your system. But when you get to 3-4 weeks of interruption, that's when you start not having that much in your system, and then that becomes a problem. So shorter interruptions are okay.
One concern people had was that, okay, we've got these people with diabetes who need this medication, but uh-oh, here come all these people wanting it for the weight loss purpose, and that's taking away, that's cutting into the supply for people with diabetes. Is that how you see it? Is that how you saw that shortage developing, or was it something else?
So I think that contributed to the shortage because, again, they are the same, at least for Ozempic and Wegovy. Because these were the first drugs in that class that were more potent and were available. And I think that many providers, myself included, initially prescribed whichever one the patient's insurance was prescribed, was covering, sorry, even if patients didn't have diabetes. And so that may have contributed to the shortages for people who have diabetes initially, and I think nobody expected that there would be shortages, especially such long duration of shortages, because we've never operated in this environment. But nowadays, insurance companies are very strict about who can take what medication. So I cannot prescribe a diabetes medication for weight loss in someone who doesn't have diabetes. So I don't think that's contributing to the shortages anymore. And it's just, I think now it's more a matter of meeting the demand, which is sky high because so many people would benefit from weight loss in this country.
We're talking to Dr. Lisa Marcelli, assistant professor of medicine in the Division of Endocrinology at the Medical College of Wisconsin. We are talking about this class of medications, GLP-1 medications. You've heard of Ozempic and Wegovy, same thing. One's for diabetes, one's offered for weight loss, a shortage in some communities at some points in time. Dr. Marcelli, let's talk about what goes into a prescription of this medication for different conditions. First of all, let's start with the original use of them that they are envisioned for, diabetes. When would doctors consider prescribing these medications for someone who has been diagnosed with diabetes?
So they are approved for the management of type 2 diabetes. That's the type of diabetes that is associated with having overweight or obesity. And so that would be one setting, one indication for these drugs. And they can, other diabetes medications tend to cause weight gain. So switching from those to Ozempic, for example, can have a lot of benefits for patients with type 2 diabetes. Because in addition to controlling diabetes, they help with weight loss, which has other beneficial effects on health in general.
Let's talk about another category of patients now where a doctor says, okay, the weight alone is a health concern for this patient, but they haven't been diagnosed with diabetes. What goes into prescribing these medications for weight loss for health concerns?
So for the weight loss indication, a doctor should look at a patient's body mass index, or BMI, which is the basically a ratio of the patient's weight to their height. It is not a perfect measure of weight status, but the great majority of people who have a high BMI also have a high body fat percentage, and so that's what really we're looking at. And so if your body mass index is above 30, which is the accepted definition of obesity, then you would qualify for injectable weight loss medication or any weight loss medication. And if your BMI is in the overweight category, but you have some weight-related complication like sleep apnea or prediabetes or high cholesterol, high blood pressure, then you would also be a candidate for these drugs.
Okay, now one more category, and I think the perception is there are a lot of people in this category, people seeking these medications for cosmetic weight loss. They don't have the BMI that puts them in that potentially dangerous category. They don't have a diabetes diagnosis. From what you're seeing out there, how many people are seeking these medications in that category?
I think there are people who are seeking this medication who fall in that category. These are not people that I see for the most part. But I think we've all heard about celebrities, and I'm sure there are people out there who really would like to use these drugs for cosmetic reasons. And of course, this is not an appropriate reason. We want to, we recommend weight loss for health reasons and not just for cosmetic reasons.
I understand that when people have faced shortages of the regularly prescribed versions of these medications, some have turned to what are called compounding pharmacies. Now, these are intended to say, okay, for this particular patient, we're putting together a particular formula. Do you have concerns about compounding pharmacies providing these medications, versions of these medications outside the usual chain of prescribing?
I do have concerns. I know that compounded medications are accepted, are approved, or are allowed in the setting of shortages. My main concern is that these drugs are under patent, and so I don't know where the compounded pharmacies or the MediSpas that also do a lot of advertisement about these medications, where they source their products. And there is some concern that maybe the compounds that are used to the chemicals that are used to compound these drugs are not exactly the same that are in the FDA approved drugs. And so we don't really know the safety or efficacy of these compounds.
Dr. Morselli, bringing things back around to diabetes treatment in particular, how important is this class of drugs in helping people live better lives despite having that diabetes diagnosis?
Well, they're definitely a revolution in diabetes management because of their efficacy and because of all the other positive effect that they have on health. So definitely a game changer.
Dr. Morselli, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Dr. Lisa Morselli is an assistant professor of medicine in the Division of Endocrinology at the Medical College of Wisconsin. We talked through about the most recent shortage of Ozempic, Wegovy, and other similar weight loss and diabetes drugs. Hey, is this a story that's affecting you as someone who relies on these medications, say, to treat type 2 diabetes? As a physician or pharmacist yourself, love to hear your perspective on this. You could email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.